and safe in Jesus' name. And Father, we just see your angels, Father, we being sent forth to surround those schools, Father, for protection, Lord. But also, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're covering these schools, Lord, that when the enemy tries to come in, there is going to be a blood covenant around those schools. Every school, I see the blood of Jesus on the doorpost, that sickness will not be able to come in. It will not be able to spread in Jesus' name, that they're going to see a supernatural thing in Washougal and in Clark Community College and WSU, Father. We just thank you. All of those schools, Father, are going to see tremendous anointing, that they're not going to be able to explain it, Father, but COVID is not allowed in those doors in Jesus' name, that our kids are going to have the most healthy year they have ever had in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We bind the enemy and his attempts to kill, steal, and destroy and to feed our kids lies. We thank you, Father. Their ears are only going to hear the truth of God. That's all that they will remember. That is all that is going to go in. And we thank you, Lord. The rest of it is just going to bounce off. We just praise you, Father, for an anointed, blessed year for our children. And everyone said, amen and amen. Bless you, kids. You can sit back down. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Amen. Part of the blessing, I just encourage you again, you can be seated. Go home and read Deuteronomy 28 and remind yourself that the blessing is there for you, and also you aren't under the curse any longer. Amen? Amen. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Take that back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go right into tithes and offerings this morning. Actually, before we do that, there's just a powerful presence here today, and I'd just like to pray for New Orleans and that entire region down there. A hurricane is headed their direction, and I love what Jesse Duplantis, he has a church down there. He just says, I just keep speaking to the storms and telling them, not on my doorfront. Uh-uh, we're not having that. So I just want to agree as a church family, which direction is that? I'm trying to think of where I'm at. Is it that way? Okay, that way. All right, so everybody reach your hands, head back that way, and let's just agree. Father, we just thank you and we praise you that Hurricane Kat, right now, as you're approaching, I speak to you in the name of Jesus and the authority that Jesus said he would leave, and greater things would we do than even he did. And he spoke to the winds and the waves, and he told them to be calm, and they were calmed. And as a body of believers, you said if two or more agree upon anything they ask for, it's done for them. Kat, we speak to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we command you to go down. Literally, as you move forward, you will drop in your intensity. The number is at a 4, but I'm believing when you arrive, you are going to be just a tropical storm. There will be no huge damage done in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Send your angels down there to protect and to keep that back. And we just rebuke this attack on this area in the name of Jesus, and we say no. You will not touch this area in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise for it, Lord. And we give you all the glory. Amen. Amen. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. It's exciting to be in church. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles today, let's go ahead and open up to Genesis 12. And we're continuing on with the overflow. And we talked about that giving from the overflow is following the Lord, obedient and willing. And we talked the last couple weeks about why it's important to be obedient and why it's important to be willing. And today we're going to start looking at some examples. And we're going to start with Abraham's life. Obedient and willing. Remember these two words. And it says in chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, the families of the earth will be blessed. So that's what he told Abraham to go. And this is, well, Abraham hadn't been changed to Abram yet. So it was Abram that changes later, same guy, Abraham. Number 4, so Abraham, or Abram, departed as the Lord had spoken to him. So he was what? He was obedient. The Lord told him to move out, and he was obedient. And he took with him Lot and his wife, Sarah. And then we're going to skip down to chapter 13, the very next chapter, and we're going to start with verse 1. So he left. He was obedient, and he was willing to follow the Lord. Genesis 13 says this, "Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him," Lot was his nephew, "to the south." Now listen to this. "Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold." Anybody see some overflow happening here? Amen. "He was so wealthy that," if you skip down to verse 5, it said, "Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together." Why was that? Because their possessions were so great they could not dwell together. How awesome would it be if you had so much that you had to move to a bigger property? Amen? Because there's so much. That's what happened to Abraham and Lot. God bless, he was obedient to the call. Now we look at that and we read the verses and you just kind of skip over it, but the Lord asked Abraham to leave his home country and go someplace he didn't even know where he was going. Talk about trust. That'd be like you getting in your car and the Lord saying, "Get in your car, and when you get there, I'll tell you." That would be a little unnerving. Pack everybody up, pack all your belongings, you've got a trailer behind you, and you're driving until the Lord says stop. That's pretty, wow. That's a lot to think about, right? Just, I mean, as a wife and a mom, I'm like, oh my goodness, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about this? What about this? All the things you go through. But we just read about that the Lord told Abraham to leave, and we go, oh, okay. But you got to put this in perspective. But Abraham was willing and obedient to do what the Lord had called him to do. And a chapter later, which was probably several years later, but you see, because of his obedience, he and Lot have so much stuff, they can't even live next to each other anymore. Somebody say amen. That's the overflow, right? We are supposed to be like Abraham, blessed to be a blessing. Say it with me. I'm blessed to be a blessing. We should be having so much extra that we can give when we hear of a need coming. Why? Because we're supposed to be like the Lord, right? And he has an overflow that he blesses us with all the time. He's pouring out his blessing on our lives. And we want to be like our Heavenly Father. So when he says to give, we just say, how much? Amen? When he says to give, we don't have to go, okay, if I don't pay this bill, I can give here and maybe make that bill go over here. That's not the overflow. That's not the overflow. The overflow is there's more than enough here to cover all your bills and leftovers so that when the need arises, you're able to say, no problem. How many do you need? Amen? I'm believing for the day that when we do some of our things that we're doing, people are going to come up and say, how many truckloads do you want? Do you know how impactful that would be? To drive up to the fish food bank with a truck filled with toys. And they're going, what? What? Well, we got overflow going at our church. So here's the toys to bless your kids in need. How powerful would that be? Amen? Or when a school has a need that we're able to say, hey, we're going to meet that need for you. What? The church is going to meet a school's need? Yep, because we're living in the overflow. Or maybe there's a need that the city has. I loved EMIC one year. The fire department needed a new fire truck. And guess who helped provide for a new fire truck? The church. They were blown away that the church was willing to help. But do you see the impact that will make on people's lives when the church starts rising up and meeting the need? That's what we're supposed to be, blessed to be a blessing. Yes. So I don't know about you. I'm ready for the overflow. Amen? So that we can live in the overflow and be able to bless whenever there's a need. We're there. Or maybe there are people who don't even have a need, but you just have extra and you can bless your family. Amen? Bless them here. Bless them. Maybe walk up one day and say, hey, I'd like to pay your house payment for the next 6 months. What? Well, mine's paid, so I'd like to bless you. They're going to look at you and go, what in the world? What? Yeah, the Lord put it on my heart to do that for you. The Lord did? I got relatives, if I did that for them, they'd be like, well, what church do you go to again? They're going to want to find out, what is this going on in your life? You're planting a seed that's going to open the doors for them to see the goodness of God. Amen? Yes. Amen. Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, we just thank you for your presence that is so powerful here this morning. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful. Where two or three are gathered together, you are right there in the midst of us. And we just pray, Father, over our offerings and our tithes and our missions today. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord, for the blessings that you have provided for us. And Lord, we will be faithful to give back. Lord, it's the joy in our hearts to give you our tenth, Father. It's out of the joy in our hearts to give to missions. It's out of the joy in our hearts to give offerings, Lord, because you've done so much for us. We are so joyful to be able to give back to you. And we thank you, Lord, that your promise is that we will be blessed, blessed, blessed when we give, Father. It says you open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing we cannot contain. And we just praise you for that overflow that we are living in right now in Jesus' name. That we can be a blessing to the church. We can be a blessing to our families. We can be a blessing to our cities, a blessing to our state. That people will start going, man, have you seen how good God has been to this church? And Father, I pray that you would just start teaching all the churches in this area about your goodness so that we can rise up as one body in you to be able to take care of the things that are needed in our area. And we praise you for this today. Bless every seed that is sown and bless the sower with joy today. Joy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pray over our giving nets today. Just stretch your hands out and just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, go. Bring in my harvest from the north, south, east, and west. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, jobs, businesses, ministries. The blessing of God in every area of my life. And I receive God's blessing on my nation. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Somebody just say, Lord, I praise you today. Hallelujah. You know, We're gonna pray one more time before we dismiss the kids. Lacey, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm putting you on the spot. Can you grab a mic? I want you to share a little bit about what happened at the park the other day. All right? You know what I'm talking about? The dog? Yeah. Lacey had a, likes to take our dog for walks the other day, and she had a pretty cool experience that I want her to share as we pray. And this, to me, this ties into everything we're dealing with right now. So, honey, maybe you can just pull that volume down here. But but what happened out there? You just decided to take Sam for a walk.
Yeah, I took Sam for a walk in our park. And
is that on?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
You want me to pull it down?
I got it.
Okay. And as I was walking him, when I walked out, sometimes the devil kind of like tells me that like it's, like somebody's gonna get me, you know, like, you know, that sort of thing where the devil kind of throws things at you. And I just kept feeling like it was not good for me to walk him that day, and I was like, no, I'm gonna walk him. And I got to the park and it just kept getting more and more like, you're not supposed to be there, there's danger here. And as I was walking Sam, a little backstory, Sam loves to sniff things, like Ella and Evie know this. He likes to just sit places and sniff for like 3 minutes. He won't move. Like you pull on him, but he won't move. He's a pretty big dog. And he just, that day, he was way more than normal. Like he would not go into the park. He just kept sitting at different places and staying there. I just kept thinking, what in the world? Why won't he go? And then at one point, I got to this point in the park where you can go like toward the apartments that are by us, or like up this hill. And there was a person walking by, and Sam also, another fact about Sam, loves people, but he doesn't know how to control his love for people, so he likes to like jump on people and that sort of thing, so we try to avoid it if possible. So I was like, oh, I'm not gonna walk over there then, I'll walk this way. And so when I was walking up the hill, I still kept feeling like I wasn't supposed to be there, but this guy started walking by, and I was like, oh shoot, so I had to grab Sam. And he walked up and he was like, hey, I'm sorry, I don't know, I don't want to be weird about this or anything, but there's a couple dogs down there. There's like a pit bull and another dog down there. They're not on a leash, and they look friendly, but I don't know. And I was like, okay, you know, some of the people are neighborhood a little. So I was like, all right, all right. And I just kept walking, and then I saw it. I saw the pit bull, and it was a big pit bull. And another thing about Sam, he does not get along with other dogs at all. And he's a pretty big dog, and a pit bull is obviously not a good dog to wrestle with. And so I turned around to go up the hill again, and the guy had disappeared. I was like, oh my word, where did he go? And so I walked past, and I thought maybe he had gone down a little path that they have into the neighborhood. I looked down the path, and he wasn't there. And then I looked down the hill, and he wasn't there. And I just kept thinking, what in the world? He's gone. And then I thought, oh my word, what if he was an angel? Like, because I know, like, if Sam, that could have been so bad. Like, because Sam's a really big dog, and that dog was really big, and if I had tried to get in between it, I just knew the Lord was protecting me and the dog. So,
amen.
That's it.
Thank you, Lacey. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. Somebody say, angels. Angels are real. Amen. And, you know, while we're praying for... I just want to read to you a couple verses out of Psalm 91 as we pray before we get to the message today. This is all the message, amen? It's all the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lacey, for sharing that. Hallelujah. And it's important that we remember times when God supernaturally protects us and that we're sensitive to His voice. Because she could have just kept right on going, right? But she was sensitive to the voice of God, amen? But Psalm 91 says this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Why? Because they weren't listening. Not because God loves you more than anybody else, because you listened, you will be delivered. Amen? But it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague, somebody say plague, come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And I thought of that story that Lacey was sharing. Anywhere you look in the Bible, I can only think of one story where the angels made somebody do something, the story of Lot, because Lot wasn't listening quick enough. But Abraham had a covenant. So they literally grabbed him by the arm and pulled him out of the city. But angels, anywhere else in the Bible, you see, they show up to speak something from God. But like Mary, for example, she didn't have to accept that. She chose to. Lacey didn't have to believe that. She chose to. Amen? So we choose to come under God's covering. Amen? It's important that we get this stuff down because we are in a very volatile, dangerous time. So hearing God's voice is imperative. Somebody say imperative. Not to be in fear, but to be in faith and to be sensitive to His voice at all times. We have people steering the ship of the United States that are in total darkness. So what does that do to us? Somebody say nothing. I will not be moved by their hard-heartedness, deaf ears, blindness, We'll pray for them and we'll pray God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven in this nation. For all those people right now, Father, in Afghanistan, we thank you, Lord, that I've heard supernatural reports of heroism and faith. I heard specifically of people that had dreams that Jesus came to them, Afghanistan people, and said, here's how you get out. And they followed it and they escaped. Somebody say supernatural. Supernatural. So, Father, we cover all the innocent people in Afghanistan. We bind the spirit of terrorism. We bind the spirit that wants to steal, kill, and destroy on Muslim extremists. We bind the devil who's trying to destroy our nation and thus the world. We bind him and we remind him he is under our feet. And the answer is no, Satan. While the church is in the world, the answer is no. We apply the blood of Jesus over innocent people. God, we ask you to help those escape, Lord God, that need to get out. And Father, we ask you to do a mighty, mighty, mighty work in our nation. Father God, a reversal of deadly, awful decisions, God. A reversal, God, of leadership. A supernatural reversal of leadership in our nation. That you would raise up even to the local level, even in Clark County, Multnomah County, Clackamas County, God, people that love God, people that love truth, people that are more interested in righteousness than rainbows, people that are more interested in justice than lies. Because God, the life of this nation depends on it, Lord. And we apply the blood, God, and we speak the name of Jesus Christ over our nation, over our communities, our schools, our kids. And God, that people would be put in places of leadership that know how to listen and follow you down to the smallest detail, Lord. And in your church as well, Lord, in leadership in your church. For these are the last of the last days, God. The rapture is coming. People need to get saved, get born again, come back to Jesus, and get serious about serving God. Because there is no other way. You are the only way, Lord. We acknowledge that. Somebody just say, Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. I receive forgiveness and cleansing of any sin. And I thank you for leading me safely through each day. I apply the blood over me and my home, my family, our nation. And I thank you, Father God, for total victory in Jesus. The peace of God that passes all understanding guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing. Amen. Praise God. I think we can dismiss the kids. Hallelujah. Praise God. Kids, have a wonderful class this morning. Amen and amen and amen. Well, is it okay if we pray in church? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Shelley, for all your extra effort for covering last week as well. And praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, let's pray over this message today. Father God, we just thank you today. We give you the praise. Thank you, God, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today in regards to healing and being in your healing flow, God. We thank you that you are the healer. You are the God who heals and does miracles and keeps us well. You are the God who is able to keep us well. And God, you're the power that flows out of us. When we lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, your word says they shall recover. So we thank you. We celebrate that today, God, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, God is so good, and I want to open up with a short video clip, and so I'm going to grab this microphone. Who's ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman? Amen. Well, I found a really cool video that I wanted to show you. And this young man is testifying about something that God did when she was here in Portland. And I just wanted to start off our time together by showing you that. So, search mode, input, and here we go.
I believe in miracles. We believe in miracles, and we believe in miracles because we believe in God. If you ever had a thought in your mind that these telecasts were rehearsed or that they were planned in any way, and someone on the set today told me that whenever someone found out that they worked on our telecasts, the first thing they asked, does Catherine Kuhlman use a script? Oh, I'd be sunk if I had to use a script, because things happen so quickly, so unexpectedly. For instance, the lovely gentleman standing here by my side is from Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Tillamook, big cheese country.
And he's here in Los Angeles just on his vacation. He came into the studio just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And during the break, he said, I've got to tell you something that is so wonderful, and it happened to...
my little niece.
Only 7 years of age, and right. It happened when we were in Portland, Oregon, mm-hmm. not the last time, but the second to the last time, about 2 years
right,
ago.
Right, about 2 years ago.
When we were there in the Civic Auditorium. Tell about your little niece, only seven.
Okay, she was sitting up in a third balcony with my sister, and you had said that God was doing a mass healing of arthritis. Now, my little niece had crippling arthritis. In fact, the doctor said in 3 more months, she'll be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life.
And only 7 years of age?
7 years old. She couldn't bend her leg any more than that right there. She couldn't bend it anymore. And her knees, you know, her joints were really swelled up real bad. That's why she couldn't bend
her. Crippling arthritis?
Yes, crippling arthritis. Now, you had said God was doing a mass healing, you know, of arthritis up in the third balcony. And my sister, she felt that God was healing someone around her, but not once did she think that it was her little daughter that was sitting right next to her. And she was looking all around. And then she's just 7 years old. She looked up at my sister. And this is pretty touching, because she looks up there and she says, Mommy, God healed me. And so then, you know, afterwards, she called us up, and then we went to the Civic Auditorium the next day. And Dawn, she comes running up, and she says, Uncle Larry, look, you know, God healed me. And she was turning somersaults, you know, and jumping up and down.
Really?
And, yes, really, yeah. She was just, you know.
You mean running?
Yeah, she was running up to me, and she was just really excited. Of course, I get pretty excited myself. And the thing of it is, here's something else, that her dad, my brother-in-law, has gave his whole life completely to Christ. Just this, I mean, I'm talking more about than just salvation. I'm talking about he gave his whole life to the Lord here just last week. So,
as a direct result of the child's healing.
Amen.
And she was instantly...
instantly healed, right.
You mean her legs loosened?
Yes. Oh, yeah. She was really excited. Man, she went running up on the stage and you know, people were talking about her even the next day. You know,
crippling arthritis.
Crippling arthritis, right.
And the doctor said that...
3 more months, she'd be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. And she's up running around going great guns right now. So
praise
God.
Thanks for coming all the way from Tillamook?
Tillamook, right.
Tillamook, Oregon.
Tillamook cheese.
And when you came today, you never dreamed that you'd be setting
this
to
sure me. I sure didn't. I really didn't.
May this be the greatest vacation you ever had in your
right.
life.
I'm just really happy just to be here.
And when you go back home, give the little girl my best love.
I will.
And tell her I thank God for his mercy.
Amen.
To her.
Will do.
And now, Jimmy.
Somebody say amen, right? Hallelujah. Can God do it in Portland? Somebody say, yes, there is faith in Portland. Praise God. And here's a man who drove from Tillamook to bring his niece, 7 years old. This is 2 years later, and somebody say, she's still healed. Right? The doctor, you heard him say, the doctor said in just a few months she'd be in a wheelchair the rest of her life. Not so. Now, praise God for doctors. Doctors are not the devil. Amen? Doctors practice medicine, but we have a greater authority in the Word of God, and we need to be putting our faith in God's Word. Amen? And praise God, you know, we don't ever tell people not to go to the doctor, that kind of thing. That's just silliness, right? But the doctor can help us some, but the Word of God has the ability to heal you and keep you healed. Amen? So that we don't need to much go to the doctor. Hallelujah. Praise, somebody say, I believe that. Wouldn't it be great to live a life free of prescription drugs? Amen? Free of disease, free of sickness. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm in the world. How do I live free of sickness? Well, you have faith for it, for one thing. A lot of the reasons why a lot of Christians are dying too young and have diseases because they don't have any faith for healing. Right? Just like, how many of you are born again? You got born again, right? You heard what God's word said about being born again, and you put faith in that, and you got born again. Well, it's the same faith that got you born again that'll get you healed, that'll prosper you, that'll keep you free from all vices. Amen? Somebody say hallelujah, right? And the world around us needs to be hearing words like this because they are absolutely, church, let me say it this way, hopeless. You might think you're having challenges, and you're in church today. Just think about someone who doesn't know a thing about the Word of God, doesn't know a thing about the Bible. Somebody say, there is no hope for that type of person. I just heard the other day that one of the main Ivy League schools, their main chaplain now, is an atheist. Now, what an oxymoron. An atheist chaplain? Oh, yes, because the non-religious community is growing. Well, I believe atheism is a religion. Because your faith is that there is no God, so that's your religion. Amen? Somebody say, not me. I believe God, I believe his word. And when you hear testimonies like the man from Tillamook there, you can't argue with a testimony, right? Amen? Somebody say hallelujah. God is so good. Well, I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 as we get into this. And we're going to buzz right on through this and believe God to just heal and give us faith for healing. The main thing we're dealing with, you know, is developing our faith in the reality that it is God's will to heal and to keep us well. In our confession for divine health out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, in your notes there, this is from kennethcopelandministries.org, right? I love the Copelands. By the way, the Copelands, you know, a lot of people criticize ministries for having jets. Well, why ought you have a jet? Well, for one thing, one good reason, this week, that they got people over to Afghanistan and got them out of Afghanistan. Through Brother David Barton was transferred over there by Kenneth Copeland's jets, and they got like thousands of people out that the military had no permission to do. And Billy Graham ministry, same thing, Franklin Graham, right? Samaritan's Purse. We need a jet in Afghanistan. It might get blown up. We're on our way. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. Amen. And he's helping people. Somebody say he's helping people. Amen? But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says this. For bodily exercise profits little, But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and is in of that which is to come. Amen? So I've heard this, you know, for eons, you know, in terms of bodily exercise, that, well, yeah, don't focus on bodily exercise, just focus on faith. Focus on faith. Well, somebody say bodily exercise is part of my divine health. Amen? And that's a word that's been missing from the body of Christ, especially a lot of the faith movement and so forth, is, well, it's just all about faith. Well, yeah, but faith has a practical side as well. How I eat, what I'm eating, how much I'm eating, you know, this kind of thing. Especially in a season like this where there is a virus trying to kill people. Amen? It's important. I saw a doctor on Victory News this past week. Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Victory Network. They have a broadcast called Victory News and one called Flashpoint. I think this man was on Flashpoint, but he was a medical doctor that would not be welcome on Twitter or Facebook or anything, right? Because he was just talking about, well, you know, one of the things that people should be doing right now is dropping a few pounds. And you know, and focusing on your diet and being healthy. Amen? It was a great interview. But so there's a practical side to being healthy. Amen? All the things they talk about, washing our hands, somebody say, yeah, right? Washing our hands, practicing cleanliness, all this kind of stuff is a huge part of our divine health. Practical side. Hallelujah. But here's our confession of faith right now. Everybody say this with me. I am strong and healthy. I enjoy exercise. And take time to strengthen my body. I do this so I can be a blessing to those around me and have the energy to serve the Lord in every way He asks. I am increasing in endurance, and I purpose to make exercise a regular part of my life. And in order to illustrate this, I brought a couple things in here. Sun's out, guns out, right? Just kidding. And so we have this cool thing at the house. And I got to admit to you, I've been a little out of the routine. But this is a punching bag. You know, I like the Everlast logo. How many of God has everlasting health for us? And so one of you guys might want to hold this because it might get knocked off through the wall. So can you come and hold this? Luke, come on up here. Luke, I love your mask. I salute it, right? All right, so hold this. So you just kind of get yourself going here, throwing some punches. You all right back there? Okay, throwing some punches. Amen. So now if I threw five punches and all of a sudden I'm like, what do I need to do? Somebody say exercise more, right? So the punching bag is one way to do it. Hallelujah. Punch, punch. Just get yourself going out there. I love to put my earbuds in and get the word going, get some praise music going. I'll tell you what, man. I probably wouldn't last for 7 minutes doing this, but if I have some good music going, I could still be going. I mean, I could just go and go and go and go, right? Now, I got some cool shoes here. I'm going to take my dress. Sometimes it's time to take off of the dress shoes and put on the Under Armour shoes. Don't worry, they don't stink. All right. So, Luke, you can go ahead and slide that back over there. And here we go. Now, you'll notice these shoes are designed to do one thing, really. Right? Who knows what that is? Somebody said it, I heard. Run! Somebody say, run. Well, sometimes you got to start with a walk, right? Hallelujah. You know, we spend so much time in front of our phones and computers, but you just got to get it going. Get it going. I can just keep on going. I get some good music going in my ears, and man, I can just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. I got Sherry Lee laughing. And then there's something else I learned from watching Rocky movies. This thing called jump roping. two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and a half. All right. Now, if I do all that, and I come out like this, I'm out of shape, right? I remember, oh, I'm good, I don't need water yet. Coffee, maybe. No, just kidding. But I remember watching Billy Burke. We'll probably show one of his clips at some point during this message, during this series. But people will get up out of a wheelchair and just start walking down and running. All of a sudden, they'll just be going, oh. And he'll be like, hey, sister, it's going to be all right. You're getting healed. You're just out of shape. Somebody say hallelujah. We have a God that heals us and gives us strength in our bodies. Another thing this doctor said the other day was, you know, they asked him about masks outside. He's like, you know, masks, they don't help much. So we're doing this because they're asking us to. Amen. But he said, man, the best thing you can do is get outside in the air. Amen. Glory to God. Go for walks. Amen. Don't hide in your house. I heard so many people talk about COVID-19, and they called it, yeah, it was COVID-19, but I gained COVID-15. Well, I lost at least 15, because I was doing some, I got spiritually angry, right? You have to get spiritually a little bit angry at the devil. Be like, okay, you're bumping it up a notch, I'll bump it up too. Hallelujah, right? So we get on our fasting, our praying, our eating better. And sometimes it's just getting one or two things going. Don't let it overwhelm you. This is not to overwhelm us. This is just to simply remind us to get after it. Work it into the routine somewhere, okay? For me, this means I've been working a little bit later hours, so I'm a little bit more tired when I get home. So what does that mean I need to do? Well, get myself up off the couch and go for a walk, right? Just do something. Get into a routine. So, and this confession is great, right? Where he says, I enjoy exercise. To many of us, that might be a statement of faith at this moment. But how many of you believe that would benefit if I enjoyed it, right? So then I start saying it. You know what? I enjoy exercise. And the Lord's going to show me how and what and how long and how much. And we'll begin to see our bodies get stronger and healthier. You know, there's one brother I know right now that is battling with health, right? But he has made so many great decisions in the past several years with his health. He's going to fly right through this thing. I mean, streamlined body weight, healthy. This virus is no match for anybody that walks in faith and practices good health. Amen? And then we can show others the way. Amen? Praise God. But moving in now to Brother Keith Moore's God's Will to Heal from morelife.org. We've been using this every week. And he says this, how do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not? It makes little difference what others say about it. What did he say about it? Remember that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34. He never changes, Malachi 3:6. And what he said to them yesterday, he's saying to you today. God's word is speaking to me. These statements are taken directly from the Bible with literal no variation. The verbs and construction have been changed to apply to you personally and to sum up the thoughts in some instances. Also, many of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe and obey, if you exercise. Somebody say amen. Man, they had to exercise back then. How did you get anywhere without walking? Amen. And there was no fast food joints. What did God say? So this is from 101 things God said about healing. And I want to read last week's too, because I wasn't here last week, all right? So I'm going to go to last week's notes. And just we're going to confess these things. We're going to confess 20 verses out loud, okay? So here we go. Everybody say this. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. The tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. Amen. Just repeat that after me. Isaiah 35:6 and 32:4. Why is it important that you say it? Because what you say makes a big difference. If I say, oh, I'm sick and tired, oh, I'll probably die early. Somebody say, no, don't say that stuff. Say the word. Confess God's word, right? Number 33 says this, the lame man shall leap as a hart. Isaiah 35, 6. Hey, watch this. Woo! Now this, the number 34 I wanted to focus on just for a minute. Say this, I will recover you and make you to live. I am ready to save you. Isaiah 28, 16 and 20. And that word recover is a big word for our nation right now. Right? For the church, for your life, right? And it means to get back again. Something lost or taken away. Man, I'll tell you what, you can't tell me that the election in 2020 was not lost or taken away by some seriously dishonest people. And now there's blood on their hands. Yikes, man. Right? Recovery. Somebody say divine recovery. Mm-hmm. To regain the strength. Right? To obtain by judgment in a court of law. Amen. Synonyms for recover are words like reclaim, restore, rescue, and retrieve. Antonyms are words like damage, destroy, decline, deteriorate. And that sounds like the devil's to-do list in our country, doesn't it? What can I do to damage, destroy, cause it to decline and deteriorate? And who can I put in charge to help me with it? Somebody say, no, we are recovering. This virus, for example, is good practice for us, right? We put our foot down and we say, in the name of Jesus, COVID, go. Variants, go. You are not gaining strength. You are deteriorating. You are declining, right? Hallelujah. That's a good confession to make, right? And you're not touching me or my house or my family or my church. Hallelujah. That's good practice, isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Then it says this, number 35, I give power to the faint. I increase strength to them who have no might. Isaiah 40, 29. I will renew your strength. I will strengthen and help you. Isaiah 40, 31 and 41, 10. To your old age and gray hairs, I will carry you and I will deliver you. Isaiah 46, 4. I bore your sickness. Isaiah 53, 4. I carried your pains. Isaiah 53, 4. I was put to sickness for you. Isaiah 53, 10. With my stripes you are healed. Isaiah 53, 5. These are great verses to be having on our hot list of things to say in the face of negative reports. Amen? Remember the gospel song, Whose Report Will You Believe? That's more the Elvis version, but. And then the choir goes, We shall believe the report of the Lord. And somebody else step out and say, Whose report will you believe? And the choir comes out, We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. Google it. You'll have fun. That'd be good for the workout, right? His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report, something about victory. Amen. His report says victory. Say yeah, 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 yeah. Amen. So we believe the report of the Lord. This is the report. This is God's will for our lives. So we don't veer off to it in either direction. Amen? So here's on your notes today. Isaiah 57, 19 says this, I will heal you. Amen. Number 43, if you got your notes, read out loud. Your light shall break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. Isaiah 58, 8. Yeah, but God, we're into 2.5 years with this thing. To God, that's like a millisecond. He told me earlier or late last year when praying about all these things, he said, Steve, would you just stand one more day, please? I said, I can do that. I can stand in faith one more day. Believe in God for the victory one more. Yeah, I can do that. Somebody say, stand another day. That's good to write down and put on your refrigerator. Stand another day. You wake up tomorrow feeling overwhelmed. Just look at that. Put it by your mirror. Stand another day. What does that mean? Stand in faith, believing God to move and break it through. Amen? And we thank Him that it's not any worse. There's a lot to be thankful for, church. Amen? And then, let's see. Number 44. I will restore health unto you. I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 30:17. He is a God of restoration. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure you and reveal unto you the abundance of peace and truth. Jeremiah 33:6. Sometimes these verses I see like for our whole country. This is one of them. I say this on behalf of the USA today. Behold it, God brings it health and cure. That's spiritual, physical, financial health and cure. And cure to our leadership. Whether that means they repent or they get removed. Amen? And I will cure you over our country, God says. I will reveal unto you the abundance of peace and truth. Man, be listening and watching for the results of these election audits. Oh, why are you still talking about the election? Well, hey, they were still talking about collusion 6 months in. They were still talking about collusion a year in. Was it true? No. So I can still be talking about election corruption 6 months in. Well, it's too late. Really? Well, if someone murdered someone, 7 months later, is it too late to talk about it? Well, I'll tell you what, it's worse than that, church. Based on what's happening around the world because of this decision, it's worse than somebody murdering someone, in my humble opinion. Amen? So what do? We stand another day. We stand in faith and we pray and we say God's words. Amen? Well, I don't like Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump, it's not about Donald Trump. It's about what he represents, and it's about he was elected, and it's about, you know, justice. It's about future elections in our nation. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Number 46 says, I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. Ezekiel 34:6. This is for today too, right here, number 47. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So right now, Father, anyone that we know of that is struggling with any type of COVID symptoms, we say this over their bodies. You cause breath to enter into them, and they shall live. And they shall live. We pray this, God, over people in the health industry that are being forced to take a vaccination they don't believe in personally or get fired. Last year they were heroes. Today they're on the blocks. We pray over them, God, that you would favor them. Cover them, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And we speak, God, your health and your breath into the lungs, God, of anyone that we know of, God, that is fighting this virus. In the name and by the blood of Jesus, we speak it, the breath of life to enter into them, and they shall live. And he says this, and I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. Ezekiel 37:5-14. If you've never prayed in the spirit before, just do it right now. Just say, Garebe Bishitana. Just say, Lord, I receive the baptism of your Holy Spirit with praying in other tongues, and begin to pray out. Say, Lord, I receive my heavenly prayer language. I receive the baptism of your Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit now. What is he doing? He's praying in the Spirit. Amen? When you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in another tongue, you're praying mysteries of God. You're praying a perfect prayer. You're praying the will of God. Amen? You're praying all kinds of stuff that you don't know about because your mind is limited. don't know if any of you have ever been in a place where you didn't know what to say in English. And so you say, help, or I guess we're all going to die. I heard that one recently. I guess we're just all going to die. Well, that's no revelation, right? If Jesus, if the rapture is you know, just delayed by 100 years, we're not going to be around for it. On the plane, we'll be coming with it. But somebody say, but I'm not going the way the devil chooses. When it's time for me to go, I'll lay down, fall asleep, and wake up in heaven. I'm not going with no disease or sickness or virus. I refuse. Based on the Word of God. And we spend time praying in the Spirit. Man, you could pray in the Spirit in the grocery store. No one knows anyway with your mask on right now. What? What nation are you from? Planet Heaven. You want to come? Want to join? Hallelujah, right? So spend time praying in the Spirit. What are you doing? You're building yourself up in your most holy faith. Especially if you feel discouraged, overwhelmed, fearful, begin praying in the Spirit. You're building yourself up. It's a warfare thing against the devil. It's a worship thing. It's a fellowship thing with God. There's so many benefits. It's like in the natural right now, I should be taking vitamin C, drinking water, zinc, vitamin D, exercising, not getting a dozen donuts. A donut, well, we'll just let the Holy Ghost lead. Amen. But what are we doing? In the natural, those are good things to be doing. Amen. But in the spirit realm, praying in the Spirit. Somebody say, pray in the Spirit. Well, it sounds so stupid. Well, so does getting COVID or continuing to wallow in all the junk that this world is going through. You don't have to go through the junk the world is going through. You are an ambassador from heaven on this planet. Amen? Go to any other nation and visit the U.S. Embassy. It will have no connection to that nation other than it's there. Right? I remember Bill Winston talking about the embassy in Haiti. And he said, man, all these impoverished people and they're... And you walk up to the embassy, green grass, gates, peaceful, nice. Don't let the devil put his trash on you. It doesn't belong to you. You're from another kingdom. You're a citizen from heaven. Amen? And that doesn't mean we gloated over people, but we point them to Jesus. We point them to Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know we got to move. Hallelujah. Somebody just take a deep breath. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number 48, whithersoever the rivers shall come shall live, they shall be healed, and everything shall live where the river comes. Ezekiel 47:9. That's a great verse that talks about God's healing flow. Somebody say, stay in the river. Stay close to God. You know, we can think about a number of things that the world could be afraid of today. COVID, right? Racism, rainbow, what else? War, terrorism, hurricanes. So the devil has this pile-on technique. He just keeps, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and we just keep going down and down. With a believer, it's just one thing we have to do. Somebody say, get to Jesus. Come, and any of them that are dealing with any of those things. One thing, Jesus said. One thing you have need of. See, religion makes a list. Oh, yeah, yeah, well, man, how old are you? Oh, it's way too late for you to start now. You'll never get to the top. Right? Well, no, you have a direct line to Jesus Christ. By faith in him and in his word and what he did for you makes you immediately a son or daughter of God. So somebody say, there's only one thing I got to do today. Get to Jesus. The rest is cake. Angels are on it, man. Right? God is on this thing. All I got to do is be doing what I need to be doing today, staying in touch with Jesus, and for me and mine, everything's going to be all right. And I'm believing God to break our nation through as well. Somebody say amen. Because God is not through with the U.S. There's too many promises he's made to too many people that are even already on the other side. Too much blood has been spilled, including Jesus' blood, right? Hallelujah. Amen. So seek me. There you go. Number 49. Seek me and you shall live. Now, how simple is that? Right? Amos 5, 4, and 6. So how do we seek God? We come to him in his word. We don't just read his word, but we do what he says. Somebody say, do what he says. And a lot of that is right there laid out in the word, but Lacey had an example where it was a specific word for a specific moment in a specific situation. Amen? So we have to be that in tune to God, right? Hallelujah. Seek me and you shall live. Amos 5, 4, and 6. And then he says, I have risen with healing in my wings. Malachi 4, 2. Somebody say, get to Jesus. Well, let's stand up on our feet. We're going to close with our statement of faith this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. This is our confession for healing today. Praise God. Just lift your hands and say this out loud. Say, Jesus Christ. I need you to sound more like a soldier here, right? Jesus Christ is Lord over me, spirit, soul, and body. Sickness, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I enforce the will of God on you today. Leave my presence now. Leave my nation now. Leave my schools now. Leave my family now. I believe I receive healing now. I am well now in Jesus' name. I forgive and receive my forgiveness in Jesus' mighty name. Now, as we close, let's not just fly by that part. If you're holding anything against anyone, if you've received forgiveness from Jesus yourself, that means you, in turn, need to forgive others. It might even be your own self you're holding things against. Just say, Lord, I forgive. I forgive and I release anyone who's ever sinned against me. Politicians, myself, family members, whoever they are, I forgive them. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.